Commissioner Bowerly, but I think we're going to go to Commissioner Franz. Is that correct? That's correct. Okay. Thank you very much. So we have the bill before us. Chairman Erdahl, two-year bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And this is the capital investment bonding bill. Also included in it are trunk highway bonds and LCCMR funding, and even a few non-fiscal legacy items. So it's a bill that meets a lot of the needs of the people of Minnesota. Our GO bonding is $825 million. And I do have an oral amendment that I would like to begin with. I don't have an oral amendment that I'd like to begin with. So I guess I'm not.
I guess you don't.
I have Mr. Lee that can go through the spreadsheet for you.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair and members, Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. I'll hit the agency totals for the spreadsheet. So starting with the University of Minnesota, $79.4 million for the U of M. All universities and colleges, $129.015 million split between general obligation bonds and user financing. For the Department of Education, $45.6 million split between maximum school effort loan, which is general fund GO bond backed, $6 million GO, and $25.6 million from the general fund. Under state academies, $2 million from GO bonds. For Purpose Center for the Arts, $250,000. For the Department of Natural Resources, $74.309 million from GO bonds. For the Pollution Control Agency, $750,000 in GO bonds. For the Board of Water and Soil Resources, $7.4 million GO bonds. In Rural Finance Authority loans, $35 million in user financing. Then $6 million for the Minnesota Zoo, $15 million for the Department of Administration, $1 million for the Amateur Sports Commission, $12.876 million for Military Affairs, $21.7 million for Public Safety. And then the total for the Department of Transportation is $541,830,000 split between general obligation bonds, spending out of the Mercy Fund, the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Fund, in a special revenue account, general fund, trunk highway bonds, and transportation fund, which is general fund supported GO debt. For the Metropolitan Council, $15.9 million. For the Department of Human Services, $74.723 million split between general fund and GO bonds. For the Department of Veterans Affairs, $41 million. For the Department of Corrections, $39.95 million in GO bonds. For the Department of Employment and Economic Development, $109.085 million split between general obligation bonds and general fund spending. For the Public Facilities Authority, in this article, $64.35 million in GO bonds. For MHFA, in this article, $10 million in GO bonds, and for the Minnesota Historical Society, $23 million in GO bonds. For Minnesota Management and Budget, and this is bond sale expenses, $892,000 in GO bonds for the cost of selling the bonds, and $418,000 for issuing trunk highway bonds. Under appropriation bonds for MHFA, and these are general fund supported appropriation bonds, $80 million. And then, Mr. Chair and members, there's a table on page 8 of the various fund totals for the bonding article, with the net GO impact on line 304 at $825 million in GO bonds. Moving on, there is another article for spending out of the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. The total for that spending is $45.828 million, and that is on page 11. Also in that, in the LCCMR article is an authorization for $98 million in appropriation bonds split between the Department of Natural Resources at $5.7 million, the Pollution Control Agency at $13.3 million, the Board of Water and Soil Resources at $10 million, and the Public Facilities Authority at $59 million, and then the Metropolitan Council for Metro Parks at $10 million. And these are in addition to the GO bond authorizations in the bonding article. On the last page is a total of GO bond and other bond authorizations, along with other with all of the fund spending, so that the net total of spending after cancellations is $1.568 billion. And then there is an additional, and I note it back on page eight, an additional $500,000 a year appropriated in each year of the next biennium for review of water quality standards.
Thank you. Before we go to Commissioner Franz, do members have questions of Mr. Lee or the author at this time? And I think we'll go to Commissioner Franz. We're very fortunate this afternoon to have with us MMB Commissioner, Mr. Myron Franz. Welcome to the committee, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Fine piece of legislation. He wrote that right there.
Well, I would say that this greatly improves my House File 1226, I would say. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Myron Franz, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget. I do want to I want to thank Chair Erdahl personally for allowing us to come and talk about the governor's priorities, but I do want to be clear and I want to take a moment at this point because I think this is clearly a missed opportunity. We have the resources, we have the needs, and we are not taking care of the things that we need to take care of. I understand that we make a lot of commitments here, we make a lot of investments, but from the governor's point of view, it's really a missed opportunity. We all know, and I won't take long, Mr. Chair, I know you want to go on, but I will say that on January 16th, the governor assessed the $3.3 billion in requests and put together a wonderful, thorough $1.5 billion project list that also had another $800 million in local projects that we also considered and were many in cases fine projects. I mean, the governor's themes were asset preservation, clean water, affordable housing, higher education, and many of those items are here. I acknowledge that. But they're in very modest levels that are frankly disappointing. And let me just give you one example of the higher education. As you know, the governor's proposal was $542 million to take care of the HEPR request and the various projects at the Minnesota State and University of Minnesota campuses. And this bill includes about $180 million, not counting some of the user-financed funds. So that's a big, big difference just in that one category. But part of the problem isn't just the amount that we disagree with. Part of the problem is the priorities and where the money goes. An example of a glaring omission is in the transit area, where there are simply no investment dollars in the transit. With a metropolitan transit area the size of Minneapolis-St. Paul and the entire metropolitan area, to not be investing, especially at a minimum, in rapid bus transit and other opportunities. In addition, there are some objectionable policy items in that article. So that's another area of disappointing. But also, to me, frankly, is disappointing is the process. As I mentioned, Chair Sinjum and Chair Erdahl did listen to us, but I felt like, once again, we see a bill here that we're seeing for the first time just an hour or so ago. We really haven't had an involved process, and unfortunately, that's been a theme throughout the last several days of this session, where we get bills, where we get the legislative position without real negotiation. And I made my career in negotiating as a tax lawyer for almost 30 years and a business executive. And to my way of thinking, this process hasn't worked out where the different sides really get an airing, really get an opportunity to speak what's important and what we need to do. So from my point of view, having this bill so late at this time and also just an hour or so before this session, it's going to make the governor's review more difficult. It's going to take more time, and we're going to have to really go through this in great amount of detail. One of the things I do need to mention, I have an email that I have to read because it's a legal question that I'm concerned about that is raised with this bill, and I don't want to mess it up, so I'll read it. Normally, an omnibus bonding bill either originates as the omnibus bonding bill or the House amends onto a standalone bonding bill. The state's position has been that we should avoid any question or any doubt when it comes to the issuance of debt, because in order for us to issue debt, we have to receive an unqualified opinion from our outside legal counsel. House File 1226 does raise a question because the text currently states that it is a non-budget policy and technical bill. It contains many provisions amending tax law, but does not clearly act to raise revenue for the state. And as many of you know, all revenue-raising bills must originate in the House. Our understanding is that the Department of Revenue scored this bill initially to have no positive or negative effect on the state's budget. It's our opinion that the Attorney General's office would need to research whether this file is an appropriate vehicle in order to give their unqualified opinion at a bond sale. So as a result, we cannot say with certainty that the sale of bonds authorized by this bill would receive an unqualified opinion from our outside legal counsel, which once again raises the question of the process that we're going through now and whether this is the best way to do it. So there are many other commissioners here if you want to get into any detail about certain aspects of the bill and certain concerns. I just want to reiterate the fact that we feel that this is a missed opportunity, that we can do better, and we have the resources and we can afford a bigger bonding bill. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to take any questions.
Questions from members of the conference? With that, Chairman Earle, would you like to... Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Senjoe.
Chair, not so much a question. I think just a reaction. This is obviously, in my view, a good bill. $1.5 billion all funds. You look at last year and $1.1 billion. You know, you add that up, it's about $2.6 billion. I don't think we have to be ashamed at all, at least looking at the biennium, in terms of meeting our state's infrastructure needs. That money is more, in my view, than any other two-year period in the history of this great state. And I would also say every bonding year, every bonding cycle, in my view, has themes. Things arise around our state in terms of new priorities. This year, in this particular bill, we're talking about things like Second Harvest, things like the Crookston Food Bank, things like that. We've never had that kind of thing in our bill before. We're talking about things like veterans, three veterans homes. We're thinking about things like our four armories in this bill. We're thinking about mental illness. Those kind of things have never been in this bill before, at least not recently, and they became an emphasis. And again, we can't do within one bill all things for all people or all causes. And so I reject the idea that this is a missed opportunity. I think it's an opportunity that's certainly strong in certain areas, and I just mentioned those. And again, another year we'll do some other priorities, but priorities ebb and flow. They come and go. And again, for the here and now, I think there's an outstanding bill that meets a lot of priorities for our state, and obviously I'm going to support it going forward.
Thank you. And I, just in response to my friend Commissioner Franz's comments about if this we can even be doing this, I would say that yes, we can, because in the bill, the base bill that this has been put onto, there's a section that talks about automated sales suppression devices. So even though it's scored at zero, this bill does raise revenue for the state, would, if it's in force. It says authorize the Commissioner of Revenue to assess civil penalties on persons who sell, transfer, develop, manufacture, or possess with the intent to sell or transfer automated sales suppression devices. The penalty is the greater of $2,000 or the amount of tax, penalty, and interest. So it is collecting a tax here. penalty and interest by using this device. Provides an exemption from the penalty for possession of a device to study how to combat the tax evasion by the commissioner or person acting on behalf of the commissioner, law enforcement agent, or post-secondary education institution. So for the record, this underlying bill, House File 1226, clearly raises money for the state. Now, some could say it might not be all that much, but it clearly raises money for the state, so I just want to put that in the record. Questions for members? Senator Miller, and then rest. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Franz, is your concern with the overall bill the contents of the bill, the projects that are in it, or simply that it's just not large enough? There aren't enough projects in the bill.
Commissioner Franz?
Mr. Chair, yes.
So it's not, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Franz, so the bill isn't large enough. Is that what I'm hearing?
Commissioner Franz?
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes. I don't mean to be flippant. Yeah, we believe it should be larger, but also, you know, we're always going to have disagreements about the priorities. That's just the nature of the beast. But we do think that there are some better ways to spend the money that's in here, but it's primarily the size of the bill, frankly.
Senator Miller?
Nothing further.
I'm going to go to Senator Rest, and then I believe the chairman has an amendment. Then we'll continue if there's questions. If you could please stay with us, Commissioner Franz, for just a bit. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure how this thing works here.
You should be on.
It's on already.
It's on when it's no light.
Okay. It's on when I say it's on.
Thank you very much. I just want to support the comments made by Commissioner Franz. Senate Democrats, under the leadership of Senator Pappas, have been very carefully reviewing the basic proposal that is here and have made, I think, very thoughtful suggestions on projects that should be considered in the bonding bill, and I still hope that there's a chance for them. The amendment that we offered on the Senate floor, Senator Pappas offered on the Senate floor, I think was reasonable, thoughtful, and wise, and very disappointed that it's not yet showing up in any document that's in front of us. And I want to thank Commissioner Franz again and Commissioner Bowerly for her work in the Tax Committee, and certainly Governor Dayton, who's been a real champion for particularly things to preserve and our infrastructure. And I think that is just a mark of good stewardship, and I'm proud to be associated with his recommendations.
Thank you, Senator Rest. To your amendment, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do now have my oral amendment, after which I'd like to make some comments regarding the discussion.
Please proceed.
On page 28, line 14, after the period, insert for projects located outside the Department of Transportation Metropolitan District. Again, page 28, line 14, after the period, insert for projects located outside the Department of Transportation Metropolitan District.
Questions for members to the oral amendment? Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Erdahl, would you explain what that means?
Chairman Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Rest. I believe that I could explain it decently, but to get it done well, let's have Mr. Burris explain it to you.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
And Mr. Chairman, if you could just, I see it's part of Subdivision 11. If you just explain what Subdivision 11 actually is, and then what this oral amendment does to change it.
Thank you, Senator Rest. Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Mr. Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research. Mr. Chair, Senator Rest, this subdivision is providing trunk highway bonding for the Corridors of Commerce program that's spread out over a couple of years. And in the proposed conference committee report language, there's some requirements around the project selection process in that. And The essence of it is to direct MnDOT to select projects based on the 2018 evaluation instead of doing a whole new round of evaluation and work its way down the list that had been developed as part of the evaluation scoring that had been done and released a couple of weeks ago.
Mr. Burris, I'm sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Chair and members. The oral amendment then would provide more flexibility to MnDOT in that selection so that the department would be able to select the next project in the list within the metro district that's inside a county that had already been selected in 2018. So the limitation on project selection having to be down the list from outside a county that had already received a project selection or had already had a project selected in 2018 would only apply to greater Minnesota projects.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, does MnDOT support this change? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? Well, let's wrap her up, Chairman Erdahl.
Well, thank you, Ms. Chairman. And I'd just like to say that this is a lot of money. It's not $1.5 billion in GO bonds, but it's $825 million in GO bonds. And it can do a lot of good for the people of Minnesota. It is heavily emphasizing our infrastructure. Yes, there are other projects that perhaps are not so infrastructure-centered, but a lot of it is. And, I urge members to support a bill that, again, does good things for the people of Minnesota. When I was a boy, I can remember one Christmas, Santa forgot to put the apple in my stocking. So it was only about two-thirds full. But I sure was happy that there was that available. And while we may not have full stockings completely, we still have a lot of good things in this.
Thank you. Thank you. And Chairman Erdahl, all I ever got was coal. So that being said, Senator Miller moves the amendment on page 28.14 after the period. And if staff could read that one more time before we vote on the amendment. So we get it right.
Mr. Chair and members of the conference committee, the oral amendment is on page 28, line 14, after the period, insert, for projects located outside the Department of Transportation Metropolitan District.
Thank you, Ms. Dyson. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say no. Motion prevails. We now have, I will renew my motion that House File number 1226, as amended, be passed.
Roll
you can't
call,
say
please.
Passed. You can't say passed.
Roll call, please.
Yes, roll call on being requested. There will be a roll call. We refer it to the General Register. Is that right? Yeah, I think that's what we do. Roll call having been requested, Mr. Hansen, if you would call the roll.
Chair Davids.
Yes.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Senator Dames.
Yes.
Senator Rest.
Nope.
Senator Chamberlain.
Yes.
Representative Hertas?
Yes.
Representative Marquardt?
Yes.
Representative Juskowski?
Yes.
There being eight ayes and one nay, the motion prevails. We are referring House File 1226 as amended to the General Register. Congratulations, Senator Senjum and Chairman Erdahl. We're adjourned. Good government all the time.